This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
Here we are again, and I'm so glad to be back with you today. I have a guest with me today. Sometimes I do this show solo. It's never solo. It's always with the Holy Spirit. But today we have the Holy Spirit, and we also have a special guest. And he's going to talk about his story of how he got started and what it is the Lord was, you know, directing him to do. And I always say to the listeners and to you that, you know, we have a specific purpose that God created for us, and it's up to us to be listening to that small voice. And sometimes it becomes a loud voice when adversity comes to us, or, you know, we're hurting or we're feeling hopeless in a situation. So many things happen, and sometimes it takes those things to get us to look up and let Jesus take the wheel. So with that being said, I want to introduce Reverend Joseph Aloy Muja. Took me a little while to get that, but it just has, it's musical, isn't it? And Reverend Joseph is the senior pastor of Christ the Good Shepherd Episcopal Church in Los Angeles, where he's been serving in that capacity since July of 2010. He's also concurrently acting as director of spiritual care at the Kaiser Permanente South Bay Medical Center, where he has been since 2004. His responsibilities at Kaiser include the planning, coordinating, and directing of all activities related to meeting the spiritual needs of patients, residents, and their families. As director of spiritual care, Reverend Joseph has also started the Tea for the Soul program. What's that all about? Which provides comfort for family members of patients and caregivers throughout the medical center. Reverend Joseph and his wife, Edith, have four children. So welcome today.
Thank you so much, Sue. It's so nice to be here.
Yes, and it's nice to have you here. I don't always have the guest in front of me, so it's really nice to be able to see your face and your wonderful smile and just experience your spirit right here in this room. It's just a wonderful feeling right now.
Well, blessings to you, and thank you for the opportunity to be here to share the good news.
So I'm curious, what is this all about and how did it start? I always ask those questions like, okay, you know, did you just come up with this one day or did something happen to cause this, this new program that you have?
You know what? It was a traumatic event that has happened in my life that caused the starting of this program.
Okay.
One day about 5 years ago, as I work as a chaplain for Kaiser, my 9-year-old daughter then and I were doing some daily bread to distribute to the patients.
Mm-hmm.
And then something happened. I came home that night. We went to bed. It was very late at night. We said a quick prayer. When we went to bed, the next day I had to go to Pasadena for a chaplain's meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And then I left the house at about 7. Been to Pasadena about 7:45. We had a prayer. We started our meeting. And then around 9 o'clock, I got a page from my hospital. And when I get outside of the conference, I called the hospital and they said, you know what, the Children's Hospital of Los Angeles is looking for you. And I was, Children's Hospital, what's going on? We don't know, but can you call them? So I called Children's Hospital Los Angeles and they told me, you need to get here right now. So without knowing what happened, they have not given me any details. I left the meeting and I went straight to Children's Hospital, Los Angeles. I don't know what I was getting into. So I pulled the car into the parking lot. I went to the front desk and they have my name information on there. And they told me, you need to go to the emergency right now. Until that time, I still don't know what it was.
Mm.
So the moment I went into the emergency room, someone asked me, "Are you the father of Veronica?" And I said, "Yes, what's going on?" They said, "You need to come right away." She got a seizure. She fell down on the way to the grocery store. She passed out. Paramedics brought her here. So I check into the emergency room, and the thing that I see was my daughter wrapped with white sheets and tubes all over. I mean, all over her little body. And this was a very beautiful daughter that we had breakfast together that morning. I left the house at 7:45, about 7:30. I came back 9:45 or 10. She is not herself. She had a seizure that nobody knows the cause. To make a long story short, she was treated for seizures. About 3 days later, she was out, and then she went to the hospital. It was during that time when I was in the hospital. I was seated at the waiting area by myself because my wife was at home taking care of the kids. It was about that time that I noticed the loneliness of being in the waiting area. I was very thirsty, nothing to eat, can't leave the hospital because you don't know what might happen. And I observe other patients are doing the same. I said a prayer that, "Lord, if I get and if my daughter get out of this, I will do something to take care of these families who are waiting for their loved one in the hospital." So that's how the whole idea of the Tea for the Soul program started. So when my daughter got better, I went back to my hospital and I created the Tea for the Soul. So I bring a cart of cookies and fresh pastries and all of that. And I stay there at the waiting area for members who are waiting for their loved one to go through surgeries. And they will be worried. They'll be scared. They'll be crying. And nobody's there to talk to them because the doctors and the nurses are so busy running up and down taking care of the patients. But then nobody's taking care of their family. So I remain there to be a source of comfort and hope and provide support during that time. So that's how the whole program started.
That is amazing, and that's what I was talking about, you know, things happen in our lives, and it causes us to be aware of things that maybe we weren't aware of before. And it's up to us to, you know, ask the Lord to reveal things to us so that we know if, it, you know, to fill a need.
Yes.
You know, if there's a need, Lord, is this the need you want me to fill? And I can relate to this firsthand because my mother got ill and I was pregnant at the time and I had to sit in the waiting room with my stepfather. And it was just the most, time just seemed to stand still. It was like so much time went by, but yet it just seemed like it wasn't moving fast at all. And it, because we didn't know what to expect, we didn't know what was going to happen. It made it very difficult. So I can understand what you're saying. And I think the listeners, you know, if you haven't experienced this yet, it is a time where there's so many unknowns. There's so many unknowns, and what you don't know, your thoughts go into the most worst place.
Exactly.
And if you have somebody there to just, you know, maybe not even say anything, but just sit there,
sit there.
Be there.
Thank you.
It's nice to not be alone.
Yes.
Isn't it nice to not be alone? And you have created this program, which is so wonderful. You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And if you're in your car and you need to get out of your car, that's okay. Go ahead, get out of your car. You can walk in, turn on your computer, click on Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word, .com, and you can listen live on KKLA. And if that doesn't work, you can go to Sue Free, spelt like one. Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word, .com, and you can listen to podcasts and let other people know about this program so that, you know, if you hear something that you think somebody else needs to hear, you don't have to worry because you can let them know about the podcast and you can tell them about it later. So we're talking to Reverend Joseph Aloy Muja.
You got that right.
Oh, I love that. And it doesn't, you know, it's not spelled like it's said. And it's kind of like fries and freeze. People always call me Sue Fries. And
fries.
It's not fries, it's
freeze.
Yes. And I just tell people, don't worry about it. Just call me.
Thank
you.
Thank
and not
you.
Late for dinner. That's great, right?
That's beautiful.
So I want to know more about what happened with your daughter and then more about how this Tea for the Soul is going forward. But tell me about your daughter first. I just need to know.
Okay. What happened was it was in about October 06. And it was on a Tuesday. We took her to the hospital. Like I said, the first thing we took was Children's Hospital, LA. That's where paramedics took her. And then the Children's Hospital of Los Angeles did an excellent job And then 2 days later, Kaiser said, you know what, now we can take care of her because she's our member. So she was shipped from Children's Hospital LA to Kaiser Sunset, mm-hmm. where the Kaiser doctors will be taking care of her. So we went there, and we stayed there until the 31st of December 2006. And I had a prayer in my head, and I said, Lord, I don't want my daughter to receive the new year here in the hospital. Mm-hmm. So please do something. But what happened when I received that message right before she left Children's Hospital, I came there. The first thing that I checked in, when I saw her wrapped there, could not talk to me, could not open her eyes, I went into a freezing mode. I mean, they brought every help to me. They brought the doctor. You know, when you go to the hospital and everybody want to interview you, you answer this doctor and then another one come, then you have to do it all over again.
Right.
And then a social worker come, then you have to do it all over. I went numb. And every time they send somebody, I say, no, I'm not ready to talk to anybody. I mean, I was out of it. Mm-hmm. And then one of them looked at me and said, you know what, we checked you out and we found out that you are chaplain at Kaiser. Are you not? I said, yes, I am. How do you handle this kind of situations? I say, you know what, I'm usually pretty good at what I do, but when you come to your own baby, it's something else.
Mm-hmm.
So they send a chaplain to me and say, chaplain, I don't even feel like praying right now. And see, I'm a chaplain. I do prayers for people.
Mm-hmm.
But at that moment, I wanted to be by myself and let God fill me in.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the meditation room, spent some time, and I was in between the street to the hospital. I can't go. Then the evening come. I had to go to see the other kids. So I go home. The kids made me cry the more because my wife is crying. And the kids are crying, where is Veronica? When is she coming home? I say, you know what? We still have to pray some more. So I go back to the hospital. That night, I didn't even close my eyes. So what happened was I was walking along Sunset. And as I went to my car, I parked in the street. It was about 11 p.m. And I said a prayer. I was so tired, and I fell asleep. You know what happened? The police came and checked me out. I mean, I left my car light on, so they thought I had pot or I was smoking something. So they came and they knocked my window, and I rolled my window. They said, sir, what are you doing here? I said, well, nothing. I'm saying a prayer. So they went to their trunk. They checked my car. They checked me out. They thought I was on drugs or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then they found Bibles and literature, the daily bread and everything. And I think they ran my name on the machine and everything. They said, what's going on? You look like a good guy, but what's happening? I say, well, I had my baby in the hospital. They felt so sorry for me. They said, can we help you? That's what I mean by angels walk among us when I shared my story, because there are very beautiful people out there. I say, no, sir, but thank you. They said, you know what? It's not safe for you to park your car here. Why don't you try to go home or go back to the hospital instead of being in the street here? And I said, okay, I will. So they left, stayed there for a little bit. And then a phone call came at about 1 a.m. from the hospital saying, hey, Joseph, how are you doing? I said, not good at all. Then the lady said, who was on the phone, is it about your daughter or something else? And I said, yes, nothing else is happening in my mind right now but my baby. She said, she's here, she wants to talk to you.
Oh.
I said, no, she wants to talk to me? I can't believe it. I'm coming right now. Then she said, okay, come on here. So I left the car and I ran. I thought the car could not go enough. I ran, finally came to the hospital. When I went to ICU, I could see the mumbling of her lips. The smile on the face is back again. Her car stayed there throughout the whole night. And it was just so beautiful. And then 6 days later, she went home healthy and strong. And we believe God for that, because I knew that must be God. Even until now, they couldn't find out what the problem was.
Really? That was my next question.
They never found out what was the cause of the seizure. They knew that it was the seizure, but they couldn't. So she went to Sunset. And then you know what happened? They gave us some medication. And then they told us, you know what, after 7 days, you don't need to take medicine again. She will be fine. But wait a minute. Go home. After 7 days, we give her medicine. So we believed. We thought everything was okay. And then as we were staying, it was about, the previous scenario was in October. And then we waited 3 weeks. And then about Christmas Day, we were planning to go to Christmas to have a family celebration at Carolina Island or something. We had a plan to go there. But then I had a little friend of mine who lived in Burbank that I wanted to take her for breakfast for Christmas before we go out. So I leave the house at 6 in the morning. I came back again at about 7:45, getting them ready to go to Carolina Island. The first thing that I found out when I came, pulling their car into the driveway, I saw paramedics in my house.
She had another seizure.
She had another seizure right in the bathroom.
Oh, boy.
So with a pickup up, I followed her, my wife along. Then we went to Sunset, where she stayed until almost the new year that I was talking about a little bit earlier. But then we prayed, and I said, God, please, we can't handle this.
So now that's two seizures.
That's two seizures.
And they still don't know what's wrong?
Until that time, they still don't know what happened. It was since that time, Sue, that after she got treated for the second time, a miracle happened. That kid remained healthy as she can be.
And how long ago was that?
That was about 6 years ago. Now she's turning 16 on the 14th of this month. She's now learning driving. She's a straight A student.
And no more seizures.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was in that time that I said, God, I want to use my life and the story of my daughter to inspire hope to other people. There might be somebody out there who might be going through something similar to this.
Mm-hmm.
What that scenario taught me was, now, as a chaplain, I want to be on the other side of being a patient and observe how we receive care. I become a better chaplain and a better caregiver because I was able to receive the care of other people.
Right. You can relate now because you've experienced firsthand what it feels like to be in that position of it's helpless and you can have no control over the situation.
Thank you.
Right?
That's exactly
and that's exactly how people in the hospital room feel.
Exactly.
Patients feel that way too, and they want answers. Mm-hmm. But the other people, you know, your people that love you.
Right.
Are not they have an extra thing because they don't know what to say, what not to say. You know, what's happening, don't know yet.
Right.
You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And we're talking with Reverend Joseph Aloy Muja. And so this brings us forward to where you are now. This mm-hmm. incident happened and you realize that there's this time in the waiting room that's you feel helpless. These, you know, people that are waiting, loved ones of the loved one
yes.
are feeling helpless.
Yes.
And you realized that there was a need. And
exactly.
so the Lord revealed to you that you needed to do something about
that
need.
That's exactly right, Sue. The Lord told me something during that lesson. Number one, the Lord really taught me how to be a caregiver for others.
Mm-hmm.
I was already a spiritual caregiver. I take care of people every day. But that moment took me to the other side of what it means to really be a patient or even be a family member of a patient
mm-hmm.
in the waiting area. That is the most difficult place to be. Sitting there very early in the morning, depending on the mercies of the doctor to come and talk to you. And every time they come to talk to you, you don't want to hear what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then they are so busy, you want more answers, but then they have no time for you. So I took that moment to be a companion to those who are waiting so they don't have to wait alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I bring those fresh homemade cookies. My wife and I make them. And then we bring to the waiting area of our medical center in South Bay, Kaiser. And then we just sit there. We don't even say a prayer. We just sit there with our chaplain badge. People come and say, you know what? What is this all about? I say it's an act of kindness. Really? And you know what's so funny? People are skeptical. I mean, you put it right there, you set up the cookies and the tea and all that, and people say, how much is it? What is the catch? I say, no catch, nothing, just simple act of kindness. This is all for you. And then they go, and where are you from? Because, I mean, I think good things just don't happen anymore. People just stop doing great things for other people. So I use that moment during the waiting area to be a companion to those who are lonely, who are waiting, who are anxious, just to be there.
So people are listening, and they are not part of Kaiser, or they're not part of South Bay Kaiser, because I'm a Kaiser member, and
okay.
I love Kaiser. But I've just had this meeting the other day, and I was talking about Kaiser because of, you know, I own a company, and the company is, we have employees,
mm-hmm.
and I provide, Ecola provides medical insurance for my employees, and I provide Kaiser.
Mm-hmm.
And I figure if it's good enough for me, it's good enough for my employees.
Beautiful.
But I let everybody know, and I'm going to let you know this, that no matter where you go to mm-hmm. get medical health, help or any type of help or knowledge, information, you know, ask questions. And, you know, you have to be responsible for your body. So be sure that no matter where you go, that you ask those intelligent, smart questions to get the kind of help and the care that you should be getting. Just a little side note. I just wanted to let you know that. And with anything we do, we need to be buyer beware. That means you need to be responsible to ask the smart questions.
Beautiful.
And Kaiser, okay, I don't belong to South Bay. Kaiser. So, you know, you're only, I don't know how many people are in your ministry, but it sounds to me like there's a huge need. And I just don't know how big or wide you could go, but it's a great idea. And I think that there's people that need this type of consoling and support and encouragement at all locations, not even just Kaiser.
Exactly.
So I think how is that going for you?
The way that is going, the way that I started is I brought every member of my team to be an interfaith program. It's not one particular faith.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
That is so wonderful.
Yes.
Yes. Love that.
I have a Baptist minister. I have a rabbi. And I have a Catholic priest, and I have even a Muslim imam, you know, to come there and be a part of the team.
This picture,
right? You see the picture right there?
Yeah.
That's exactly right there. So when members who come there who have faith or don't have faith at all, they will be comfortable because it's not a religious thing. It's a caring ministry that we provide for people who are in need at that time. So my initial plan was to have it in every Kaiser Hospital in Southern California. In 2010, the program won what Kaiser called an Everyday Hero Award, you know, where they select a distinguished program that is really making a difference in the medical center. So they picked T for the Soul. And now other Kaiser chaplains like Sunset, Woodland Hills, Panorama City, Riverside, they all came to me and said, you know, how can you help us to start this program?
And so they're started?
And so now we're in the process of starting in Africa as a science.
Because I go to Woodland Hills.
Exactly.
And I go to Panorama. Yeah.
You go to both of them?
Yeah, I had both my babies at Panorama,
you
and I go to Woodland now.
You know what is so funny? A patient came from Panorama City, and he had a loved one there for some reason. He came to South Bay, and so he came and get a cup of tea, and she goes, how can we have something like this in Panorama City? And then I said, well, I know a chaplain there, a very good friend of mine. We can set it up for you. So my plan is now to have it in every Kaiser Hospital because it's making a difference in the life of people. It's
taking
loneliness away and comfortable it is.
Yeah.
And just a very beautiful me time where people can be able to focus about themselves.
And if somebody doesn't have a faith and they're feeling hopeless out there, you can help them with that, too.
Definitely. This is not
only
for people of faith, but this is just for every human being who is need. You know, whether we have faith or not, every human being has a need.
Yes.
And the biggest need we have is companionship.
Absolutely.
And if someone stands right there with no agenda, no strings attached, just to support you in the tradition of God, to come alongside those who are hurting and suffering, to be a part of that beautiful moment. And I see a lot of people coming to me and say, you know what? I don't practice any faith, but I thank you for being there.
Faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love.
Thank you.
And companionship is just loving one another, right?
And it's all about love.
Yes.
It's all about love.
And that is so wonderful.
Yes.
I love it.
It is. I do love it as well.
I love
it. So, I mean, it's just an opportunity. Wherever you go, you find yourself. I believe this, that God gives us opportunities to make a difference in people's life every single day. Wherever you are, whether in the mall, in the swap meet, or wherever you find yourself, there's a need that you can always fill in there. And I do that every day, and I love it.
It must be very rewarding for you.
Very rewarding.
We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So, call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS, 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.
This is the Sue Freed Show.
So we're back from after the break, and I just want to know more about the ministry. What is your role as pastor at your church?
My role is a senior pastor of Christ the Good Shepherd Episcopal Church in Los Angeles, which I oversee the ministry of the whole parish. That means to preach, counsel, and teach. Have Bible studies on Wednesday, which we have two sessions, one at 2 p.m., the other one at 7. And so that's what I do.
That must be very rewarding, too. It's very taxing, though.
Yes.
You know, I see my pastor, and I'm always praying for the pastor because, you know, when you're responsible for decisions and mm-hmm. you're responsible to try to guide people and encourage people and love people, mm-hmm. It can be very tiring at times.
Yes, it is very tiring, Sue, but the Lord called me when I was like 9 years old. This is the only thing that I've ever done. I was a pastor all my life. I mm-hmm. tried to get out of the ministry 2 times in my career, but God kept bringing me back.
Right.
So I knew at a very early age that God was calling me into the ministry, and it has never been easy. I feel lonely at times. But I've never failed to see the hand of God every time when I needed it. So it's a very difficult position to be. But you know what? When the Lord calls you to it, He will provide sufficient grace to make sure that you stay there.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Amen.
And it's just very beautiful. People feel sorry for me sometimes. You know, but you know what? I'm having fun. I never feel stressed out or depressed or whatever. I think there's a tremendous difference when you love what you do.
That's true. That's a sign of success for some, you know,
yes.
that, you know, if you love what you do and you've got quality of life, then that can be successful. How do you incorporate scripture into everyday situations at the medical center? Are you okay to do that? Because you're the chaplain, you can. Huh?
Right, yeah, I can do that. What I usually do is not everybody who come to the hospital are religious people.
Right, that's true.
And it's just a very sensitive topic to go to. But the way that I do incorporate is, number one, I never impose it on anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I have little daily breads, and what I do is I offer a service to people, and people can agree to receive it, or they can agree not to receive it. And I don't get offended by it. So, and most of the time usually the way that I do it is people say, "Can you pray for me?" And as I pray, and I said, "Yes, can I read this passage of scripture?" I say, "Yes, go ahead." So I read about healing, the promises of God in difficult times, and a lot of the time people receive it. I mean, I don't ever remember a time that a patient said, "Don't read any scripture for me," or something. And part of it is because I screen, so I know which room to go, and I kind of know my patients and all of that. So, and when I find patients who have no any faith, I go there as a human being. You know, I camouflage, you know, I put out my thing and I just go there as a regular human being, which bring compassion and care to that person. I had one last week who actually said, "You know what, I'm not a religious person, but can you pray for me?"
Mm-hmm.
And I went ahead and said the prayer. What is so funny about being in the hospital is people are so much fearful of death. And so when they come to difficult time, like being in ICU or being faced by surgery and everything, they say, "You know what, I usually don't believe in anything, but I'm sure a prayer can help me right now. Don't you think they can help me right now?" And I say, "Well, yeah, they can help you right now." So I pray, and I know because of the faith that I believe in, things become successful for them. And they usually say, "Thank you." I don't know what it means to them later, but I redeem the moment.
Sometimes that's the only time.
Exactly. Sometimes that's the only time. And I meet people that I never meet again.
Right.
And once in a while, I get a phone call of them say, "You know what, Chaplain, I thank you. I met you 2 years ago and you prayed for me," and all of that. And usually they come back 2 years later, they remember me, but I don't remember them. You know, I'm still standing there giving my tea for the soul. And I say, "You know what, you're still here? I came here 2 years ago and all of you saw my mama and everything. Can you come and pray for my dad today?" I'd love to.
Absolutely.
And then they just feel. So what you find to do is I don't really talk much, but I do much. You see, I walk the talk at that time. And the demeanor, the way you present yourself make a very big difference on people's lives.
I loved what you said about act of kindness.
Yes.
It's an act of kindness.
Yes.
And that's, we're called to do that.
Yeah.
We need to look for opportunities to do that. And the Lord reveals it. It's whether we're going to pay attention to it. Or not.
Every single day that we get up and we get an opportunity to be above ground, it's an opportunity to exercise simple acts of kindness. That's why I created a mission we called Kindness Mission, a mission that we do nothing but random acts of love and kindness without expecting anything back in return. And anybody can do that. I mean, just watch every place you go, you find an opportunity to make a difference. Most of the time at the gas station, I was in San Francisco 2 weeks ago, and I was just taking morning walks and passed by a gas station. Someone stopped me and said, you know what, I don't know who you are, but can you fill gas for me? You know what, I just went into my wallet and I said, come to this gas station, swipe my card, and I fill in the tank for them. They went their way, I went my way, we never met. Simple act of kindness. And God himself will bless all of us when we do that. And I look forward to doing that every day as I'm able to.
And that's wonderful.
And everybody can do that.
You know, the times that I say, make yourself a blessing to someone today. I say that.
Yes.
Because I think it's important. But we have to be thinking, okay, I need to be a blessing today. And I haven't been a blessing to anyone, at least not to my knowledge. So, boy, I really got to be focused on that right now. Before the day ends, I need to be a blessing to someone today.
And on the way home, Sue, you'll find an opportunity to do
that. Yes, absolutely. It happens.
It happens all the time.
You know, we don't get enough of those. You know, it's like you can never get enough hugs.
Exactly.
You know, it's like... Or smiles.
Or smiles.
A smile can just warm the heart.
And it's so funny because people don't smile anymore. I mean, I find people and they ask me, why do you smile all the time? And I say, because you know what? I don't have any reason not to smile.
It's the joy of the Lord.
I got up this morning.
Joy of the Lord.
And the Lord is so beautiful. He's so good. I'm alive and well. And just count your blessings. If you count your blessings, you will be able to
smile. In the Bible it says, in all things give thanks.
Yes.
And if we have a thankful heart, how could you not smile?
There's no way.
Yeah.
You gotta smile.
You know, and you know what? Bad things happen. You know, things happen to us and things like that. But there's always something that we can be thankful for. Even in our trials and tribulations, there is something that we can learn from and there's something that we can be thankful for.
You know, that is so beautiful. I have a message that I send to my medical community once a year during Thanksgiving season. And the one that I sent this a couple of weeks ago was about 87% of people who are thankful are much more happier than those who are not thankful. And they live much more healthier lives and longer life because you have an attitude of gratitude. And God expects us each day to be thankful. Remember the story in the Bible where he healed 10 people with leprosy and only one of them showed up? And he said, Lord, I'm just here to say thank you. And the Lord said, and who are you? He said, I'm one of those 10 whom you healed. And the Lord said, and why is the rest of everybody? So even God himself is expecting each one of us to give thanks. So wherever you are this morning, find a moment to say thank you. Say thank you to God. Say thank you to your family. Say thank you to those people in your lives. Take a moment to reflect, a moment of nothing but just a thank you.
And those that are listening, that was the golden nugget. We've said quite a few, but that was the golden nugget right there, that if you just do that, it'll change your life. It's life-changing. Sometimes the slightest little change in our attitude, slightest little change in our thought process can make such a huge difference in the world we live in. And we need to be focused on how we can make this a better place. Not how this place can become a better place for us, but how we can make it a better place. When you go to church, ask the Lord to seat you. Don't sit in the same seat.
Ugh.
Go somewhere else. Sit in a different seat. Live a little.
Amen.
Step out.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And see what God does. Yeah. It's amazing what happens. You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And we're talking with Reverend Joseph Aloy Muja. If you're listening and you're frustrated, you're feeling like, yeah, that's okay for you to say, but you don't know what I'm going through. You have no idea what's happening in my life.
Oh.
If somebody came to you and said that, what would you say to that person?
Well, you know what? People say that all the time. And to be honest with you, yes, I don't know what they're going through. Because one thing you don't want to assume is to know, to say that I know what you're going through. Because
right.
You're actually not there.
You're not
you
walking
don't
in their
know.
Shoes.
You're not walking
right.
in their shoes. And until you walk in their shoes, you can't say that. But the good thing is the Lord do knows what each one of us is going through. I may not know, and I don't even have to know. But I know somebody who knows what you are going through.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the Son of God. And that's why he's the only one who say, you know, come unto me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. No other human being who can say that.
Mm-hmm.
But he stood on a tall stall and said, you know what, come to me. Come to me because I can fix it.
And I can give you rest.
And I can give you rest. And there's nobody else can claim to be able to give you rest. Right. But he alone, student said, come to me. If you go to him today, and you can do that. You can do that at home. You can do that in your car. Take a moment. But not on the freeway.
Please.
Okay, please. Just find a quiet place and say, Lord, I bring it to you. That's what I tell my people when we come for healing services. I say, you know what? Leave it here. And don't come back and pick it at night, because we bring things to the Lord in the morning. And then in the middle of the night, we get up, we process in our mind, we worry again, we construct all over again. And I say, no, it doesn't work that way. Leave it under the feet of God and trust me, God will take care of it.
And I believe you, and I've seen it.
I've seen it,
and it's so wonderful. And, you know, God's in control.
Yes, he really is. I mean, he really is. I mean, all my life, I grew up from the villages of Africa. And even the book that I wrote here to share my story is about how God delivered me from every struggle that I ever went through. There was a time when I was struggling to get a visa. I mean, the embassy kicked me out. They say, we got to do this. I went to the Lord in prayer. God give you favor wherever you go. So just take it to the Lord in prayer and see what happens.
So your book, why don't you tell the listeners about your book?
The book is an inspiring personal story of faith. The title is Angels Walk Among Us. From every tribe, kindred, and nation. And what the book is about is about 75 people who came alongside me in my time of trouble. You see, everybody have trouble in their life.
That's
whether
true.
Big or small, everybody got them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And what I notice is God made a promise. In Psalm 91:11, he said this, "For God shall give the angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways." So the book is a story of about those angels who had charge over my life when I couldn't help it. They took it over and made me a better person. And that's why today I'm able to give to people, because those 75 angels gave it to me. They gave their time, they gave their wisdom, they gave their money to make me who I am today. And everybody has a story. This is a personal story, and you can write your own story. You can inspire people. There are struggles here, like, for example, how my first baby was born. It was in the jungle of Africa where no doctor was available. My wife went to labor for 5 days and five nights. You don't want to miss this story. And we had nobody to turn to. In the whole village, nobody have any medical expertise, no C-section, nothing. But God showed up. If you get an opportunity to pick it up, you will be inspired. Trust me. And then the other part of the book, that's part one, part two of the book, is about 45 people who I asked to write about how my ministry have helped them. In meeting me, did I make any difference? If I did, how? So I let them share. And that's really what is so much fascinating. It inspires me every day to see, you know what, Lord, even if I die today, I know that I made a difference.
And we are all called to make a difference.
Yes.
God created us for that.
Yes.
That he created us for a specific purpose. Even you, listener, you have a specific purpose that God created you for. Do you feel in your heart of hearts that you're fulfilling God's purpose in your life? Mm. If the answer is no, today is the first day of the rest of your life, and you need to be asking him to guide you and to show you, and he will make the path. He will make it happen.
Mm.
You just have to be a willing, open vessel, willing to serve. And if you do that, he will guide the path. He will open up doors, close windows, do whatever is necessary to make it happen.
Mm.
But you have to ask him, and you know, ask and you shall receive. So I really encourage you. That's part of my gift, is to encourage. I encourage you to step out in faith. Have the courage to do what God created you to do. You will never feel better than when you are doing God's work.
Mm.
And it's much better to give than to receive. And those that have given, you understand, you felt it, you know what it feels like. You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And we're talking with Reverend Joseph Aloy Muja. Do you have a list of healing scriptures that you just have available to you?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay. The question is mm-hmm. I have a website mm-hmm. that I would love if you could send me
okay.
those healing scriptures.
Yes.
Because we will put them on with your podcast.
Okay.
So people listening, what they can do is they can listen to the podcast mm-hmm. or they could go to Helping Hands, which is another section on my website, and they can pull down those scriptures that will help. So if you have different scriptures for different things,
yes.
like healing, or if you have scriptures for...
anxiety, depression,
exactly.
and all of that. Yes.
All of those. If you have yes. those, then I'll put your name as you're the one that put them together for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have them up there for people to utilize and help. And that's just spreading it even further.
You know what? I'll
spreading
more,
his word.
Amen. I'll be more than happy to make that happen.
That would be really wonderful.
Yeah.
And so they're going to hear this on the podcast or they're listening to the show today.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to go to the website. It's Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word, .com. And then you go to Helping Hands. Give it a few days after you hear the show, because it's going to take me a little while to get it up because he has to give it to me first. And so, I know he's a man of his word and I know he'll give them to me so that I can get them up there for you. So if that's encouraging and that's going to help, then that would be a wonderful thing to be able to offer them. Also, where would they get this book?
You know what? They can go to Barnes and Nobles and pick it up. They can
really?
Go to
that's
Amazon
awesome.
And all of that. I mean, whatever books
okay.
are sold, that's where they can go and find it up.
Are
and
you
again,
gonna write another
all
book?
The donations for the book are going back to the village in Africa that I came
oh,
from.
There's you know, I want to go to Africa so bad.
Oh, you know what? Go to my village.
I would love to go to
my village. Go to my
village. Are you going back someday? I'd like to go back with you.
I'm going back in February.
You are?
I just came there 3 weeks ago.
I just came from there
3 weeks ago.
Okay.
I went to give them a Thanksgiving meal because in the village we don't have Thanksgiving. So I went and studied for the first time.
How wonderful.
The villagers were so much excited. So what is this thing called Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
So it's a wonderful moment that we sit down and pause together and say, thank you, Lord.
Give thanks.
It's a wonderful story of the school and church that I started 25 years ago when I started my ministry. Under the tree. We
under
had no roof. We started under the tree. But now we have K through 8th grade. We have a beautiful construction of the church. We just built a hospital. So I call the whole village and say, you know what? Let us give thanks.
So how many languages do you speak?
I speak 3 languages.
Which are they?
Maasai, Swahili, and English. And I'm in the process of learning Spanish because now I'm a missionary to
it's
the
wonderful
United States.
To learn
so I
Spanish.
Learn Spanish
Absolutely.
And all of that. So,
yeah. That'd be great.
That's
you
right.
Have a great smile.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So, well, the Lord smiled through me and I just prayed. That's what people tell me all the time. You know what is so funny about my teeth? Someone looked at me a couple of months ago and said, you know what? How did you make your teeth? I say, no, I didn't do nothing with it. And then they say, oh, my goodness, so they look so bright and everything. And I say, you know what? I stay away from the dentist. They say, what do you mean? I say, believe it or not, I've never been to a dentist.
Wow.
Until 4 years ago when
okay,
I took my
dentist,
daughter.
If you're listening, dentists, we're not recommending this to our listeners.
Oh, no. But I just like that. So it's so funny. I said, well, I'm not saying that's somewhere from the dentist, but that's what I did.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So do you have any words of encouragement you could leave our listeners with?
Yes. This is the most beautiful time of the year.
Yes, okay? It is. Well, for some, it's the most beautiful time. For some, it's a very lonely time.
Yes. I'm going both ways.
Okay.
It's the most beautiful time of the year because we got to see how God remembered us through his son, Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. Okay.
Yes.
On the other side, it's the most lonely time of the year
yes.
because there is someone who was with you this time of the year last year, and
mm-hmm.
today the chair is empty.
Yes.
And with you, that is very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But I can assure you of the grace of God, who will never lead you where he will not keep you.
Mm.
So I want to encourage you in the Lord and be excited about his many blessings. But what you can do during this time, do several things. Number one, find something to be thankful about. I know things have happened, not so good. Find something to be very grateful about. And the way you find something to be grateful about is look around the world and see the other people's problems and see how much you have been blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And then number two, find someone you can bless.
Amen.
There's somebody out there sitting waiting for your hand to be a blessing to them. And if God has blessed you, it's for one reason, so that you can be a blessing to others. Not so you can go and have a good time all by yourself, but God bless us so we can be a blessing to other people.
Amen.
So find an opportunity to be a blessing. And trust me, it's much more blessed to give
than to receive.
So you have been receiving from the Lord. It's time to give. Give your time. Give your smile. Give a hug. Give a kiss. Give love. Share something. Find something you can share. Donate clothes. Donate shoes. I told my congregation, you know what? Empty your closet. Get out all those pair of shoes that you have never used them, you know, for quite some time now. Share with other people. And
awesome.
God will bless your life.
Amen.
Amen.
So true.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
No problem. You are so much welcome, Steve.
Are you going to write another book?
You know what? Right now, I'm getting my doctorate and all of that. Maybe after that, I will. But for right now, I'm focusing on my dissertation and everything.
And your oldest child is how old?
She is going to be 16 in 10 days.
Okay. And is she the one, Veronica?
Yes,
the one, Veronica. And she's getting her driver's license.
She's getting her driving license. She drove me to work this morning.
You know, parents, that's when you really have to trust the Lord, right?
Yes.
When you hand those keys over to those kids.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, they're in your care, Lord. You know, I've done all I can, and now what?
Amen.
Yeah. Huge trust.
There is someone who keeps them better than we do, because we are not always with them.
That's true. But the good
Lord is always with them. That's a difference, because as parents, we become possessive. We want to be in control. But we know that there's someone who brought them here on the planet, and it's the only one who can keep them.
And the mission as a parent is to train them up.
Train up in the way they should go.
And they will not.
And they will not depart from
it. That's right.
That's a promise.
That's right.
So we only act on the promises of God. I love it. On the promises of God we stand.
Do you have a list of promises of God?
Oh, my goodness. A list of them. One of those is, you know what? Come unto me and I'll give you rest. That's the first promise.
I love
okay,
that
the
one.
Second promise, seek ye the kingdom of God and everything else you want will be added to you.
Right.
Number three, you know, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he grow up, he will not forget you.
Right.
He will love you back. He will not snack you into whatever, but he will be right there with you.
Those are great.
Those are great promises. So you can remember those three blessings to
and
you.
That and, that keeps our lives in focus.
Keep our life in focus. So what you got to do as we come to this season, it is my prayer that the Lord will bless all of us who will hear this message to find an opportunity to make a difference. Life is too short, and we can only make a difference to other people's life. Look for somebody.
It's really not hard.
No.
It's not difficult to do at all.
Yes, not at all. I mean, wherever you go, every single day you have that opportunity. Wherever you go to the mall, go to the swap meet, go to a gas station, whatever you go to the post office, you can make a difference. You can write a card.
Right.
Send a prayer.
And it's fun.
It's fun doing it.
It is
have a good
really
time
fun
it.
To do
yes,
it.
Yes, it is.
So I think you're going to write another book. I have no idea what it's going to be, but I have a feeling you got another book in you.
Well, bless you. I'll take the prophecy.
You know, and yes, and that's
you know,
great,
that's actually
it?
How this book came into being. Someone told me, push me until I wrote it.
Right.
So now
and you know, you mentioned Psalm 91, and when people are really anxious and whatnot, I always, on my Bible, I've got Psalm 91 as protection.
Oh.
It's the protection verse.
Yes.
The verses are protection for
that's
Psalm 91.
Exactly.
And so when you mentioned that, I went, oh, protection. That's
Amen.
Like, great. So,
yes, I believe
so,
that.
Yeah. So we're coming to a close now, and I just want everybody to know that, you know, this is a tough season, but it's also a season to remind us of what the season is all about.
Mm.
And so be a blessing to someone today. Ask the Lord to reveal it to you and make a difference because you can.
Yes.
One step, one smile at a time.
Amen.
God bless you until next week. Love ya, and the Lord loves you even more.
Amen.
Bye.
God, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. it's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.